Good morning to everyone. It is, as always, as everybody will always say, and it truly is an honor and a privilege to stand up here and present to you a word from a lesson from God's Word. And let me say, though, there's no more importance placed on this than there is if you're teaching a class in the back. It's just as important. Or if you're teaching somebody one-on-one, there's a great responsibility. It's just you got 100 set of eyes looking at you up here, so sometimes it makes you just a little bit nervous. I flippantly made a comment in the back that I had this lesson stretched out to 12 minutes. But for a little donation, I could probably whittle it down to 10. I took Miss Edwards out. Gail got sick and had to leave. I took Miss Edwards out. As I'm coming back in the door, somebody's handing me a check. No names. I don't know about you, but I read. I've got favorite things that I like to read and remember. Comfort verses, I guess. I tend to go to them, and in the back, in my office, I'll go back and I'll get an idea and I'll write it down in the notebook. Sometimes I'll actually develop it into a lesson, and sometimes it's just an idea. Something I want to look at later. And one night, about a year ago, I was doing this very thing, and it was one of my favorite verses, and I was reading it. And didn't really know what I was looking for or where I was going to go. It was just a time between me and the Bible and quiet, and I just was reading. And I harp on this all the time. I'm doing it right now with the middle school, that you just can't read something once and get it. You got to read it, then you got to go back and read it, then you got to read it again, and then you got to really start looking at it. And sometimes there's things there that you just overlook. You blow over them because you're in a hurry, or you've read it so many times, or maybe it's something you recite. And I did this with this particular set of verses. I looked at it and I thought, you know, you've been reciting this from the pulpit, and I really don't think you've studied it. So I got down and I got serious about it and I studied it. And it's about fellowship. Now fellowship is an association. Fellowship is a community. Fellowship is joint participation. And fellowship is the share which one has in many things. Let me tell you, when you're sitting on this side of the building and you look on this side of the building, I don't know about that particular kind of fellowship because this building... It's kind of large, you know. So you almost want to say next Sunday, why don't all of y'all, when you come into class, just sit on this side of the building. And look what Bob's face looks like from the left side. You can sit anywhere you want to. And mingle. Except for that last pew. You can't sit in the last pew. Anywhere else will be fine. But the last pew, we're good with that, right? Not the last pew. But fellowship is a community. It's a joint participation, something that we do together. And we don't care so much from this particular point in time this morning about fellowship outside of Christ, because that's what we're concerned with this morning. But let me say this, that fellowship without... We talk about fellowship with each other, but I want to hit another point. Without fellowship with God... Then fellowship with each other spiritually is irrelevant. In other words, if I don't have or have established fellowship with God, then me and you spiritually have no fellowship. Fellowship with God is what we need to establish. Then fellowship with each other will come. It's a natural byproduct. So guess where we're going? We're going to 1 John. And I want you to turn there. And I want to read out of 1 John chapter 1. And I want to set this up. 1 John chapter 1. That we heard which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, That which you have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be filled. What's John writing? Well, John's writing that physically, viscerally, they had walked with Christ, they had talked to Christ, they had come in contact with Christ, they had eaten with Christ, they had listened to Christ and His lessons, and that they had fellowship with Christ. Matter of fact, if you go to John chapter 14, Christ elevated the, I think it was John, I may have that wrong, but Christ elevated the apostles from up to friends. And He calls them, you're my friends. There was a fellowship that went on between Christ and His apostles. And what John's saying is, if you're going to have fellowship with us, this is spiritually, we have fellowship with the Father. Well, your fellowship will be with the Father. But what I want to concentrate on really is starting with verse 5, next three or four verses. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is in no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and then the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And this is where we want to be, right here. Verse 5, what's established? Well, it establishes that God is light, and in God there is no darkness. Verse 5, God is light, and in God there is no darkness. In verse 6, it says that you cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with Him. And that you're lying, and you do not practice the truth if you think you are. God is light, in Him is no darkness. Verse 6, you cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with Him. And verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, God's work, God, the light God works in, the truth, it's enlightened by God, the light is, then we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And what is fellowship? Fellowship is a joint participation. It's what we share in many things. So, the fellowship that John's writing about here, is it with God, with Christians, or with both? Verse 6 is certainly talking about a relationship with God, because you can't have one if you're walking in darkness. And verse 7, I think, is a continuation of that thought about this relationship with God. Verse 6, 5 and 6 pits the light and its redemption against the darkness and its judgment. The light and its redemption is God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God walks in light. Verse 6, if you're in darkness, you can't have fellowship with God. That's judgment. No gray area. You're either in the light or you're in the darkness, one of the two. Verse 7 is the out. If you're in the light and you slip, then Christ's blood is what cleanses you. So darkness equals lie, equals not the truth. Light equals fellowship and the cleansing of sin. So for you and I to walk in the light takes what? Well, it means we've been enlightened by God, for one, if we're walking in the light. Is that correct? I think we'd agree. And so knowing the definition of what fellowship is, how do we have fellowship with God? How do you have fellowship with the Creator, the Holy of Holies? How is that fellowship possible? We're talking about the Supreme Being and us having fellowship with Him. How in the world do you do that? You ever thought about it? I hadn't. This is where I got to that point. I never thought about that. How do you have fellowship with God? He's done everything for me. How do I have fellowship with God? John answers it for us in chapter 2, verse 3. Hereby we do know we know Him if we keep His commandments. We're having fellowship with God when we keep His commandments, His requirement. if we keep His commandments. Somebody else has said it better than me, so I'm going to say it this way. Light is the element in which God is. You got it? Light is the element in which God Himself is. The light constitutes the test of fellowship with Him. The light constitutes the test of the fellowship with Him. Walking in the light is our identity in the essential element of God's eternal being. Walking in the light is our identity in the essential element of God's eternal being. Walking in the light is your identity with God's eternal being. Hereby we know Him if we keep His commandments. You're walking in the light. Keeping His commandments. Obeying God's word. That now becomes your identity. It's who you are. It's who you are right here, right now, in God's eternal being. Light is the element in which God Himself is. Light constitutes the test of the fellowship with Him. In other words, the test is if you're walking in the light or you're not walking in the light. You either are or you aren't. If you are, the light is the test of that fellowship that you can have with God. His Word is that light that will be the judge. That's the test. That's what constitutes whether or not that your identity is within the essential element of God's eternal being. His Word. How else would God have fellowship with you if He didn't supply you the way? I mean, He's not going to leave it up to us to do. We can't do that. We're human. The light. Walking in the light. Now, in verse 8, God recognizes that we're at war with sin. We're at war with the world. God recognizes that we will fall short. God knows man, He made us, and He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to us so that we can be cleansed from our sin when we do err. And all we have to confess our sins before God, and He'll forgive us, and the blood of Jesus Christ will send us, and when we do that, we're back in the light. We're out of the darkness, and we're into the light. That test of fellowship with Him is God's Word. But you cannot lie and say that you have no sin. If you do, the Word's not in you. You just can't do it. So if we're to have fellowship with God, we're to obey His Word. And by obeying His Word, God will have fellowship with us. That's comforting. Makes me feel peaceful. Peace. Gives you a comfort. Gives you an easy feeling. Lets you know that when you lay your head down at night, the world can end. Your house can burn down around you. Calamity can befall you. Death and destruction can pursue you. You're at peace. You're walking in the light with God. You're having fellowship with God. Studying His Word right now or in your class puts a new importance upon our fellowship with God, whether or not we nod off and go to sleep, or whether or not we daydream and we don't pay attention to what's going on. So how do I have a stake in this relationship with fellowship? It's a spiritual relationship with all the benefits. What about me and you? How do we have fellowship? How do we have fellowship with each other spiritually? Now, if I'm having a fellowship with God, if I'm having fellowship with God, and you're having fellowship with God, what about me and you? How are we having fellowship? Well, again, it's through the light, the enlightened way. It's through God's Word. So I'm going to ask you this. I mean, do you love God? Well, I love God. We can have fellowship in that regard. You love Christ? Well, I love Christ. We can have fellowship in that regard. John chapter 14, verses 19 through 21, when we talk about loving God and loving Christ, Christ asked, How? He who keeps my commandments loves me and will be loved by my Father. There's fellowship. He who keeps my commandments, I will be loved and will be loved by my Father. There's the fellowship. Perhaps we could turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Great verses, right? And what do we find out? We find out that we are to assume the mind of Christ. But remember now, and it talks about the humility of Christ, who didn't think it was robbery that he gave it all up in heaven to come down to this earth to suffer the humiliation and death on the cross so that there'd be eternal salvation for you and me, the perfect sacrifice for me and you. He gave it all up for me and you to come down as part of being in the light. And that's what Philippians 2, 4 through 8 is talking about, the humility of Christ and his mind, that there's a mindset that goes along with that. But remember, 4 and 8 is kind of an answer to the question that preceded that. Just prior to that, in chapter 1, Paul's writing to the Philippians, and he tells Philippians, you're going to be a Christian. Being a Christian is great. You got to strive. You got to keep it going. But you're going to suffer. Right there at the end of chapter 1, it's going to hurt being a Christian. Chapter 2, when he opens up chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, is talking about certain things of how they are to hold this together. And if they don't separate from God, they don't turn away from their salvation. It's through unity. It's through humbleness. It's through love. It's esteeming others better than themselves. Now, if you and I had those characteristics because they're in the light, they're given to you, but if you and I have those characteristics with each other, we have fellowship. We have a common goal. It's the Word of God. It's the light. You and I have a spiritual bond, a spiritual relationship, a continuation, joint participation. You're having joint participation right now. If you're paying attention, you're having joint participation right now. In fellowship with me, in fellowship with God, right now, it's what's going on. You and I got to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. We have to walk in love. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is what? Love. If you and I can't love each other, nothing else is going to happen. Just ain't going to happen. There's a healthiness to what I'm about to say in 2 Corinthians 6. Starts in verse 11 and goes through 7:1. We're not going to read that, but 1 concludes with, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." There's a healthiness in the fear of God, and you and I can have fellowship in that regard. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17 talks about forgiveness. If somebody has erred against you, even as Christ forgave you, you forgive them. We can continue to have fellowship if we do that. We continue on in that and we find out that there's peace involved, that there's love involved, that there's tender mercies involved, that there's kindness involved, that there's meekness involved, that there's long-suffering involved. All the things that God has done for you, you're to do for each other. We have fellowship when we do that. Spiritual fellowship. Walking in the light. Remember, it's the light that's not only your test, but your identity. Test all the time. I got tested this week. Wow. Rough week. Don't forget where that peace comes from. No matter what's going on outside the world, the test is in the light. The test, God's eternal being is in the light. That's where you and I want to be. And if you and I are there spiritually, you and I are having fellowship. That's all I have on that. There's nothing there about salvation other than the fact that God is light and God is our salvation. However, let me say this. If you're not a member of the church, if you haven't followed the plan of salvation, you're not having fellowship. You're not in the light. Scary, scary thought. You don't have that peace when you lay down at night. You just don't. You can't. Or if you've sinned and you need to get it right with God because you're in darkness. If you haven't repented of that sin, you're in darkness. And remember the word of the test is, the test is the light. We're walking around with it in our hands today and rides around in our cars and sits on tables at home. And the light is there. We're going to offer an invitation now. If there's anybody that feels that they have the need to come up front, we're going to give you that opportunity now as we stand and sing the invitation.
What time was already?